This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Not in the name of the Most High.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-Mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shahli sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli amma ba'd. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And peace be upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there's no God except Allah. And I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and my sisters, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this opportunity once again. And I also thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every single moment that we get together to remember Allah and remind ourselves of Allah and the Messenger of Allah. I also remind myself anew and thank Allah azza wa jalla for another new Hijra year. So tonight is the first night for a new Islamic year, 1442, after the Hijrah and migration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated from Mecca to Medina 1442 years ago. And today is the first day, or tonight is the first night of the new Hijrah, the first night of the month of Muharram, which is the first month of the Islamic calendar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill this year with happiness, joy, and getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. We were talking about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We were talking about what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum had encountered and experienced. And we spoke about the different phases of the da'wah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the first phase of the da'wah, which is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was the first 3 years in secret. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to go out in the public and start calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to start with his family. And that's what we spoke about last week. The moment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out in the public and started to call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that moment that the people of Quraysh start to fight against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, resist the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his da'wah, combat the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba. And it was that moment that they start to persecute and torture the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. The first thing that they started in persecuting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam was them to make mockery of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, demonize the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and call the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam names and accuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam of the accusations and allegations against him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to undermine the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and to make people doubt the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that's something that we spoke about last week. And to continue putting doubts in the hearts of the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and those who are listening to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which is the normal tactic that your opposition usually uses against you. When someone wants to put you down, when someone is competing against you, they start putting you down by making people doubt in you, by making mockery of you, by making allegations and accusations against you, by saying things about you, by defaming you, by demonizing you, by trying to marginalize you. And unfortunately, this is something that sometimes we as a Muslim community encounter and experience. So that's exactly what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam went through. And we mentioned that amongst the accusations they used to make against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that he's a sahir, he's a magician, he's a kahin, a fortune teller, he's a sha'ir, a poet. Oh, Muhammad is majnoon, he's crazy, he's insane. Oh, Muhammad is speaking to the devil, not a revelation or an angel that's coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these are the sort of tactics that you see, in particular in politics, when you've got two parties and you've got two people running for office, each one of them starts to put the other one down. And alhamdulillah, in Australia, it's a bit more, you know, it's a bit more respectful. You go and look overseas, the way they treat each other. But I'm not saying like it doesn't exist. It does exist. When there is an opposition, the opposition is usually trying to put the other party down by accusing them, making allegations against them, by making people doubting them. And that's exactly what they did to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started with his da'wah and called to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now obviously, this didn't work out too well for the people of Quraysh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of that in the Quran al-Kareem. Amongst the things they said against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because it was all that smear or that fear mongering. It's like a smear campaign against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to make people doubt the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to fear the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. Amongst the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran al-Kareem, they said about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ما لهذا الرسول يأكل الطعام ويمشي في الأسواق. What kind of a prophet or a messenger is this man that he's eating like us and he walks in the markets? So subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say that I'm going to send you an angel. Because if Allah sends him an angel, that's it. It's like you're walking into the exam room with the, not only with the questions, with the answers with it. The test that Allah is testing you to see, are you going to respond to the call of the prophets and messengers when they call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when there are people like you. And subhanAllah, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah that you are dealing with a prophet and messenger as a human being. Can you imagine it was an angel? You'll feel intimidated. You're not going to feel that harmony or that respect, or you're not going to feel that connection. You're not going to feel that connection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends prophets and messengers who are mankind like us, for us to get along with them, to understand them, for them to understand us, for us to sit down with them, for them to sit down with us. So the expectation of the people of Quraysh is that we wanted a prophet, a messenger that's an angel. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends you an angel, then there's no test here. There's no point for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to test you. Allah sends you an angel, of course you're going to follow. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing to see, are you going to follow when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them a prophet and a messenger who is someone like them, from amongst them, from the ankind, the same color skin, the same size, the same height, the same race. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent that. And you find many verses in the Quran al-Kareem speak about some of the doubts that the people of Quraysh were putting against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And amongst the things that also said, why is Muhammad coming with the Quran al-Kareem gradually? Why doesn't Muhammad just come with the Quran al-Kareem in its entirety? Why does Muhammad just come to us bits and pieces here and there? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions that in the Quran al-Kareem. كَذَلِكَ لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. The reason that we revealed the Quran al-Kareem to you gradually, in parts, to strengthen you. We are sending it to you slowly. We're not sending you just one hit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sending verses and orders and commands slowly to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we are human beings. When something comes all at once, it's very hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Quran al-Kareem, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran al-Kareem to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Gradually, verses will be revealed, followed by other verses, but followed by other verses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam clear in the Quran al-Kareem, لِنُثَبِّتَ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ, to strengthen and consolidate your heart. Now, all these doubts that the people of Quraysh will continue to cast against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and continue to say against the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam, didn't work in their favor. On the contrary, that only promoted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And people literally will come and hear all those doubts against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and those accusations against the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. But then when they sit down with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam, they had no other choice except to believe the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to follow the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. One of the leaders of the Arabs, his name is At-Tufail. He's a respectful leader, a respectful chief from one of the prominent tribes in the Arabian Peninsula. He came to Mecca and they sat down with him and they spoke to him against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and petrified him to the extent that he was so scared to listen to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam and to hear any of the words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. So he shoved his ear with Quran, with the fear that he might be hearing some of the spell of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And while he was doing tawaf, he saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam sitting next to the Kaaba. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam obviously is reciting the Quran al-Kareem, so At-Tufail can see the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam moving his lips. And then At-Tufail came back to his senses and mind. And he said, like, you know, everyone knows I'm a good poet. I'm a smart person. I'm an intelligent person. I'm a knowledgeable person. Like, you know, why am I ever exaggerating in my fear against Muhammad? Why don't I just sit down and hear what he's got to say? So he removed the Quran from his ear and he sat down with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and listened to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. After he listened to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had no other choice except to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka rasulullah. There's no God except Allah and you are the messenger of Allah. Subhanallah. That's the smear campaign they had against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The smear campaign that they continued to make people doubt the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. So initially it started, the resistance against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam started verbally. Verbally in a way where they mock the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, accuse the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say wrong things about the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. When that one didn't work, they escalated it to physical resistance, persecuting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Now, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his followers were divided in two categories if you want to look at it. Some who had a strong backing, like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abu Bakr, Uthman bin Affan. These are companions who came from prominent tribes. And as I mentioned to you before, that the Arabs are very tribal. I might disagree with my cousin, but no one goes near him. That's how it is. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes from the most prominent tribe in Mecca. And they were considered the chiefs and the leaders of the people of Quraysh. The majority of the tribe of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam were non-Muslims. And the majority of them did not even believe in the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, nor they sympathized in the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But at the end of the day, he's from our tribe, no one lays a finger on him. So people like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he had a backing. People like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam had a backbone, had a support. But other Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were the weak, the slaves, people who come from non-prominent tribes. They didn't have a backing. And obviously, when I know that if I'm going to touch this person, there's going to be 100 people coming in fighting, or 100 people coming in support of him, or touching this person, no one's going to come in support of him, my nature is going to go and pick on the weak one. That's subhanAllah people's nature. This is mankind's nature. And that's why the people of Quraysh were hesitant in doing any harm to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They avoided harming the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the very beginning, but they've exercised a lot of harm and torture and physical persecution on the weak Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And some of those weak Sahaba were either non-Arabs, slaves, people he did not have or come from big tribes. They picked on them. People like Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was one from the early comers to Islam. He's a slave and he's an African from Ethiopia. So he's non-Arab, doesn't have a family, and is a slave. Like, he's, to them, in their view, a slave is like the lowest class in society. The lowest class in society. Like, this slavery means this person owns nothing. He's owned by his boss. He's owned by his master. That's what slavery is. You're a slave, you own nothing. You are owned by your master, which means you have no position, you have no power, you have no authority, you have no respect. That's it. You're just a tool, you are just an instrument, an item that you are owned by your master. And Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was one of those slaves that followed the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that heard the call of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and embraced Islam and followed the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. As a result of that, he was tortured. And he was tortured severely. He was tortured severely. His own master will take him out in the middle of the desert during the middle of the day, which is the hottest moment of the day, and will put him right in the middle of the desert with a huge, massive rock on his body. His body is burning from the hot sand and the pressure of the big, massive rock. And he used to get the kids, his master, Ubay, used to get the kids and the little kids in Mecca, and he used to put a rope, a leash around his neck and get the kids walk around with him like an animal, iyadha billah. That's how much mockery they used to make of him. And this is something for us to reflect. Yeah, we as a Muslim community, sometimes we are oppressed. Sometimes we are a target. Sometimes we are marginalized. But we're not going through what these Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala went through. They went through that, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is in their presence. And Jibreel is coming down to the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you, and Allah will test me, and Allah will test us. The moment you come into Islam, and the moment you start practicing Islam, and the moment you start calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inviting people to Islam, you will encounter and experience hardships. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum did experience a lot of hardships. Some of those companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum, experienced so much hardship, some of them lost their lives. Others lost their sight. Others were wounded, tortured. Allah alam, what part of their body was broken? But they were physically tortured. And you know what's the hardest part? When the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is standing there, seeing them with his own eyes being tortured, and he can't do much. That's not easy. Imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is looking at you, and you are getting tortured. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, have patience. Have patience. In Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went past Ali Yasir, the family of Yasir, the mother of Ammar and the father of Ammar, Yasir and Sumayya. And they were getting tortured. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam stands there. Mother, father and son, who are being tortured and persecuted, physically tortured. They were tied up on the ground. Like, we are talking about physical torture here. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam goes past and he says, Sabran ya ala Yasir, fa inna maw'idakum al Jannah. Have patience, or the family of Yasir, inshallah your ending is going to be in the Jannah. Brothers and sisters, I want you to reflect upon this story. Don't just look at it that way. You know, sometimes we see something that's happening to the Muslim Ummah, someone comes to talk to you, and you tell him, Allah, akhi, I would love to do something, but I can't. Oh, you can't this and that. And people start going off and screaming and shouting, and you this and that. You're silly. Subhanallah. What would you do when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes past you, and you are getting tortured, and the Prophet looks at you and tells you, have patience. Brothers and sisters, accept the reality. Sahaba are getting tortured and persecuted, punished. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes past with a broken heart. Have patience. Sabran. Ya Ali Yasir, fa'inna mu'idakum al-jannah. Have patience, or the family of Yasir, inshallah your ending is going to be the Jannah. Subhanallah. That's hard. That's probably harder than the punishment itself. If you are going through the agony and the pain of the punishment, imagine the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam just standing there and he says, I can't do anything. And then you'll be looking at him and saying, are you sure you're receiving a revelation from God? Are you the one that's making all those promises? You can't even help me in freeing myself from this punishment. You're talking about you're going to rule the East and the West? It's not easy. Trust me. It's not easy. And look, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were persistent. They were steadfast. They were perseverant. They didn't give in. They did not give in or back down. La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So much so that Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was being tortured in the middle of the desert with a big massive rock on his body, naked body, just a big massive rock on him, and all he says is Ahadun Ahad. There's no God except Allah. And his master, his name is Umayyah, tells him, O Bilal, do you believe in this idol? Do you believe in this God? Do you believe in this idol? And Bilal turns around and says, Allah is one, Allah is one. Subhanallah. Persistence. That's what Iman is about. That even the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were amazed to see the persistence and the endurance of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu when he was going through this punishment. So they asked him, how did you handle the agony? How did you handle the pain? He said, Alhamdulillah, the sweetness of Iman overpowered the pain. The sweetness of Iman overcame the pain. I was just thinking about my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And subhanAllah, there's so many stories here I've got in front of me. One of them is Fukayha. She's a female slave, and she lost her sight because of the punishment. And Khabbab ibn Arat, another companion, that he was tortured, and other companions that were wrapped with the rugs and straw mats and lit on fire for them just to choke out of the smoke. And you know, the stories just continue going on. I don't know where to start from. Where Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum lost their lives, lost their sight. Allah knows how many body parts were broken in their bodies. Internally, what was bleeding and what was not bleeding. And the torture that they went through and the persecution they continued to go through. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا حتى يقول الرسول والذين آمنوا معه متى نصر الله. Do you think that you enter the Jannah before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you go through what the previous nations before you went through? They went through hardships. They went through types of punishment and torture. The ground was shaken under them until people would turn back to the Prophet and Messenger and say to him, when is the victory of Allah? And Allah says, the victory of Allah is near. أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمُ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you think you'll enter the Jannah before Allah sees those that strive in the path of Allah and those who are patient? It's all about patience. You can't just claim to be a believer before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through the test. And the test is struggle. Share Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where you made off. Anyone can claim their loyalty and love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah wants to see action. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see action. Amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they were also persecuted, but a lighter persecution than other companions who were weaker was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Uthman bin Affan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Talha, or Uthman bin Ubaidillah, yes. And Talha ibn Ubaidillah, they were all persecuted by the An tribes. These are companions who had a strong backing. They had support from their families. They had support from the tribes. They come from prominent tribes. And as I mentioned to you, the people of Quraysh that were more targeting the weaker companions, those that don't have a backing, don't have a tribe, they used to attack them. And they used to torture them severely. And you know what? Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Alayhi salatu wasallam was physically harmed. And it continued to escalate. So what the people of Quraysh did, they've realized that nothing's deterring these people away from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It looks like Muhammad and his followers are very strong and determined. These people are only getting stronger. These people are only getting persistent. These people are only growing. It became an issue to them. It became a big concern. And they started, as I mentioned, verbally and now physically. Yet, they haven't reached to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to physically harm him. But what they've tried, they knew that the biggest backing of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the biggest support of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his uncle. Abu Talib. Abu Talib was the biggest support of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even though he wasn't a Muslim. And even though he died as a non-Muslim. But he was the biggest support to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the strongest backbone to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam. And the people of Quraysh were more concerned over the reaction of Abu Talib than anyone else. So the most that really safeguarded the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was his uncle Abu Talib. So what the people of Quraysh decided to do, they decided to form a delegation and go and sit down with Abu Talib and talk to him. Look at your nephew. He's caused us a lot of trouble. He brought a lot of harm to us. He's divided amongst us. Do something about it. So they start to exercise pressure on the biggest supporter and sponsor to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that was Abu Talib. So they went to Abu Talib and sat down with him and said to him that your nephew had abused our lords, had abused our religion, had abused what we believe in, had insulted the belief of our forefathers. You either stop him or stay out of our way and we'll deal with him. That's what they said to Abu Talib. So Abu Talib, obviously, he felt the pressure. So he called the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he said, "Oh nephew, it looks like that you are causing a lot of trouble in the area. You're causing a lot of trouble and mischief amongst our people. And they've come to me. And they've asked me to tell you to stop. So what can I do? You tell me." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam refused to back down. He said, "Oh uncle, with all love, with all respect, I am the Prophet and Messenger of Allah. I'm on a mission. I'm going to continue with this mission." So Abu Talib realized that there's no way with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam continued with his da'wah. So once again, another delegation went to Abu Talib, exercising more pressure on Abu Talib. You know, this is how you deal with those things. You speak once, the first time is probably more subtle than the second time, but the second time becomes more aggressive. The second time they came to Abu Talib, putting more pressure on Abu Talib, saying to him that enough is enough, this is not on, we're not going to accept it anymore. Your nephew has brought a lot of harm, he's caused a lot of mischief, he's caused division, he's insulting belief and the belief of our fathers. If you're not going to do anything about it, then we're going to take the matter in our hands. And they threatened Abu Talib. With this immense threat and rough language with Abu Talib, Abu Talib called the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said to him, "Oh nephew, don't make me carry something I can't carry anymore. I can't handle this. This is becoming too much of a pressure on me. Your people, your tribe, the people that you live amongst, the people that you are part of, they can't handle this anymore. And they're not accepting what you're doing. And they're exercising a lot of pressure on me that I can't handle this pressure anymore. So I'm telling your honor, stop. Stop this call that you are calling people to." So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam turned around and said, "Am, or uncle, by Allah, if they put the sun right now on my right and the moon on my left, for me to deter away or to turn away from this matter that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to me, I will never ever turn away from it until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes this mission fulfilled, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes me away from this world. It's not going to happen. That's it. It's a command. It's an order. From who? From Allah. So I'm sorry, uncle, with all love and respect and apologies for the pressure that you're going through, but no, nothing's going to deter me away. Nothing is going to turn me away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had commanded me to do. Even if they bring the sun right now on my right and the moon on my left, it's not going to happen until I fulfill Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mission, or Allah takes me away from this world." And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam walked away crying. It's hard. It's harsh. When you are relying and depending on Allah, of course, but then that's the only man that's standing by your side, and now that's his talking to you. It's like, you know what? I'm going to turn away from you. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cried. Walked away. But subhanAllah, look at this good character of Abu Talib. He's a non-Muslim. He called the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam back, and he said to him, "Oh nephew, do what you wish to do and what you love to do. By Allah, I will never ever give you in." That's it. And this is who? A kafir. A disbeliever. "Oh son," because he used to refer to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as his son, even though that's his nephew. "Do what you want to do and what you need to do and what you love to do. By Allah, I will never give you in." The shield and the siege that was protecting the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Abu Talib. That's why later on you realize that when Abu Talib passed away, that's when the people of Quraysh got the most out of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's when they got, and that's where they exercised a lot of pressure on the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued with all this pressure that's coming on him, and the pressure that's coming on his supporter, and the pressure that's coming on the Sahaba. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is determined, because he's the Prophet, the Messenger of Allah. He's on a mission. And that's what we learn from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to always be determined and strong. So now once again, the people of Quraysh came to Abu Talib, because the biggest obstacle for them to get to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Abu Talib. Get rid of Abu Talib, now you've paved the way to get the mass out of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abu Talib was that shield. And that's why the people of Quraysh were hesitant. And Abu Talib was one of the main chiefs of the people of Quraysh. And he was the biggest supporter and sponsor of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they went to Abu Talib this time with a funny thing. They chose one of the noble, respectful and famous young men amongst them. His name is Amara ibn al-Walid ibn al-Mughira. Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira is one of the respectful people. He's the father of Khalid ibn al-Walid. So this is the brother of Khalid ibn al-Walid. And Amara was respectful. He was close to age to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was respectful. He was young. He was energetic. Like, you know, he's that type that, you know, every father would love to have him as a son. So they went with Amara ibn al-Walid to Abu Talib. And they said to him, Abu Talib, this is a good boy, a strong young man. Look at him. Very respectful, noble, charismatic. Every father would love to have a son like him. You take him in exchange for Muhammad. Take him. He's your son. You take him in exchange of Muhammad. We are giving you one for one. A man for man. Respectful man for a respectful man. So Abu Talib turned around and said, damn you. You want me to take your son for me to feed him? And you want me to give you my son for you to kill him? Are you for real? You want me to take your son in and I feed him and spend money on him and take care of him in return for me to give you my own blood for you to go and spill his blood? That would never happen. Wrong bargain. Wrong negotiation. That's not going to happen. It was very adamant. So that's when they turned around and said, oh, Abu Talib, your people tried to deal with you in a very balanced approach, in a respectful manner, but it doesn't look like we're getting anywhere with you. That's it. Ends over here. You do what you need to do, and we'll do what we need to do. After this moment, they've decided to now escalate the persecution on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Up until this moment, it was more of negotiations. When they failed in their negotiations and resorted to nowhere, that's when they start to physically oppress the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and physically torture the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And subhanallah, we're talking about Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the greatest human being to ever tread this earth, who was physically tortured. He was physically harmed. And next week, inshallah, we'll be talking about the different torture and punishment the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. And we're not talking about your mother and your father. If you receive a phone call right now, someone is torturing your parents, I'll be running. We're human beings. What about if it's Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is more important to you? Not only more important to you than your parents, your children, even yourself, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes mention. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tortured. He was choked. He was struck. He was hit. He was stoned. He was mocked. He was swore at. This Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The da'wah is not cheap, my brothers and my sisters in Islam. Don't think you've got Islam. Islam came to you on a silver platter. You were born as a Muslim. Your parents, most of you, were born as Muslims. You grew up in a Muslim household. If you reverted to Islam, alhamdulillah, you reverted to Islam with minimal hardships. And if you're born as a Muslim, what did you encounter for Islam to come to you? You were born by default as a Muslim, alhamdulillah. Islam came to us on a silver platter. But it wasn't a silver platter to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was on a punishment platter. On a blood platter. They were persecuted and tortured. But because of this persecution and torture, Islam came to us easy. You're a Muslim today because of their sacrifice. Not because of mom and dad are Muslims, or not because of Allah, someone gave me da'wah and became a Muslim. You're a Muslim because of the sacrifice. Always remember, You are indebted to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Every single one of us is indebted to him. Because of the great sacrifice, because of what they went through, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with Islam, and every single day we say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu Muhammad Rasulullah. So next week when we talk about the different punishments and torture the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through, him and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala, and I want you to reflect upon that and appreciate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Because of them, you are a Muslim today. Because of them, Islam was spread to the East and the West. Because of them, alhamdulillah, billions of people are Muslims. And because of them, billions of people are saved from the hellfire. So alhamdulillah, the fruits that we've got right now in front of us, and we're talking about the fruits of Islam, that didn't come out of nowhere. You just got the end product. But along the way, there was a long process, a very tough process. And inshallah, I want you to reflect upon this so you could appreciate, and I'm sure you do, but appreciate what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did for us and the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And appreciate the ni'mah of Islam in your life. That I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst those who listen and hear and act upon with the listen and hear. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Once again, don't forget your UMA new Hijrah calendar. Take it inshallah and you'll find it online. UMA.org.au/calendar. Jazakallah khair. Subhanaka Allah.
Every Muslim dreams to be up in Jannah. A pious person's destiny. Inshallah, in Jannah.